Thanks, Clark. So that's next Sunday, and George is a wonderful speaker. He was a former pastor over at First Baptist Church. He's been a chaplain at the University of Michigan hospitals, and he has also been for quite a few years now the executive director of their Interfaith Roundtable, which is the group that tries to pull together people of all faiths to have conversations and dialogue with one another. And he's going to be talking about that next week. I hope you'll stay following the worship service for that. I think you're going to find it fascinating and very interesting and helpful. This afternoon at 1 p.m., we are gathering in celebration of the life of Dennis Nagel, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. That's back here in the sanctuary this afternoon at 1 p.m. There will be a reception following, I think, over at the League. Isn't that where it is? At the League following that service. So take a good look at your worship bulletin for some other announcements. Murray Mosagim will be upstairs for crop walk following the service. You can just see her. She is all ready. She has her posters ready and everything else. And she'll be upstairs to talk with you about that if you're interested in hearing more about it or donating to the cause. So, is there anything I'm forgetting here today, Darcy? If not, let's welcome each other to worship as we begin our worship together.
morning. Please join me in the call to worship, followed by the prayer of invocation and the Lord's Prayer. You have come to a community of love and hospitality. You have come to a community of worship. Here, you are God's honored guest. Let us join together in prayer. Welcoming God, we come to you on this World Communion Sunday, mindful of your presence with us and with all. You have drawn all people together in a worldwide community. You have commanded us to seek out others in unity and love. God, renew in us this morning a spirit of understanding and grace and compassion. Fill us with a vision of the future that includes all people who seek to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Enable us to travel your way that we might show the love of Christ wherever we go and to whomever crosses our paths. Through Christ's love and example, make us a people that seeks to love and care and serve others, both near and far. We pray these things in the name of Christ, the head of today's Eucharist table, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Can I have all of our third grade students please come forward for a children's circle? Our third graders. Is it just you today, Gus? Well, I made way too many gift bags then. Where did our third grade? Two. Perfect. Okay. Can I have both of you introduce yourselves to the congregation? Can you tell them your first and last name?
My name is Connell, and my last name is Nicholson.
My name is Gus, and my last name is Joy.
Thank you. Can I have you take the gift bags? Okay. Oops. Yeah. Their names are in the top of them. Okay, so today is a special day because our third grade students will receive their very own Bible. Okay, so we have Gus and Connor. So, do we have their bags?
Gus.
Okay. Okay, you can go ahead and open your gift bags. What's the first thing you're finding in there?
The Bible.
The Bible. Yeah, so those are your very own Bibles, so you can bring those to class with you. You can read them at home. You can study the Word of God. What else is in your gift bags? A pen? What could we do with a pen? Yeah, Gus? Can you talk into the mic for me?
You can write down notes in our on the sticky notes.
Yeah, there's sticky notes in there too, so you can write down questions you might have. What can we do with a highlighter?
Highlight parts.
We could highlight parts? Gus, what kind of parts would we highlight? Our favorite verses? Yeah, so these are for you guys to start studying the Bible on your own and bringing them to church school with you. Okay, there's also in your Bible a bookmark. Can you see if in your Bible, is there a bookmark? It'd be in the Bible. Yes, you found it? Yes, what's your question? Okay, so you have a yellow highlighter and yellow sticky notes. What else could you use to write on your sticky notes? Yeah, we might have to use... You might have to use the pen on the sticky notes so it shows up. Yeah. Okay. So you can put all that back in your bag. This is for you guys to start using your own Bibles. You can head back to your parents' seats. And just a reminder for all the other kids in the sanctuary today, we are doing Family Sunday, so all the kids will be staying with your family. There is nursery downstairs for nursery and preschool students.
I invite you to join me. There's a prayer in your bulletin as we join our hearts and our spirits in prayer as for the third graders that just received their Bibles. Let us pray. Creator God, may you continue to bless our children with faith, family, and friends. Help us to continue to live out the baptismal promises we have made to nurture and grow these young Christians. May they always feel your comfort as they seek your guidance and respond to your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Indeed, we have been blessed, and at this time in our worship, we return a portion of those blessings through our tithes and our offering. Let us pray. O Lord, we long for the time when the meek shall inherit the earth, and all who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be satisfied. And we believe that despite the persistence of evil, now is always the time when more good can be done and we can make a difference. And so we pray that it may be so through the offering of these, our gifts, and the offering of our lives. For we ask it in your Son's name. Amen.
For these past weeks, we have been looking at the Beatitudes, which are the first verses in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes for several more weeks here throughout the fall. And each week as we read the Beatitudes to you, we're trying to read the Beatitudes. We are reading the Beatitudes in one of the different renderings or translations of the Beatitudes. This morning, I'll be reading the Beatitudes from the New International Version of the New Testament. It's going to sound very, very similar to the words that you would hear in our New Revised Standard Version Bibles, which you have before you in the pews. So listen now for God to speak to you in a very personal way through these very sacred, historic, and holy words. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples, and this is more than just the 12, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, or falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And here ends our reading. Will you please join me in prayer as we begin? Let us pray. Well, God, we thank you for the blessedness of this moment as we gather as sisters and brothers in Christ around this worldwide table in memory and in celebration of you and our togetherness and unity as one people. May the words of my mouth this day and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing now to you. Amen. I wonder, since our verse today in the Beatitudes is "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," I really wonder how many of us here have ever really experienced a dire hunger or formidable thirst. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but think about that. How many of us have ever really experienced this kind of hunger or this kind of thirst? I think the closest personally that I have ever come to this was as a wrestler trying to cut weight in high school and college. I think I knew a little bit about hunger and thirst at that particular time anyway. Yet I would wager, if we are really honest with ourselves this morning, we might collectively admit that life, everybody's life, is somewhat, in some way, an appetite in search of some kind of fulfillment and satisfaction. The question is, what are you hungry and thirsty for? What is it that drives your life? What is it that motivates you for living, for getting up in the morning and getting started and going at it for another day? And what feeds you and what brings you purpose? Is it material or is it spiritual? Or is it the longing to feel more productive, perhaps, and worthwhile? Is it the pursuit of power and prestige? What is it that drives your passion? What is it that touches your enthusiasm? What calls for your attention and for your energy? Jesus, in today's beatitude, is asking us a question about priority. It's a question about priority. Jesus is really asking us to think about what we long for most in life, what it is that drives us. In this beatitude, Jesus is pointing our attention toward the kinds of choices we make. And Jesus is asking us, what is it that you crave most in your life? And Jesus' answer here is, blessed or happy or blissful or content are those who hunger and thirst, who crave, if you will, after righteousness. For he says, they will be filled. They will be satisfied. You see, this beatitude of Jesus is really not about arriving. It's not about making your goal. It's more about prioritizing. It's about engaging something. It's about pursuing something. It's about deciding to go after something, in this case meaning righteousness, and it means staying with it, being so passionate about it that you go after it no matter what, even as if it's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of hunger and thirst. Now, I must admit, I do like Jesus's metaphor a great deal. And yet, honestly, I imagine very few of us here today really understand what it really is like to be insufferably hungry or to be insufferably thirsty. Yes, on many occasions, we may go some hours without a good meal or a refreshing drink, and thus, you know, some of us might at times feel a little grumpy. Or we may feel in need of something to eat or a beverage to drink. However, to be really hungry to the point of starvation and to be really thirsty to the point of dehydration, well, that's quite another concern altogether. Very few of us here in America have ever had that kind of experience, though that is not true, as we all know, for people in other parts of our world. Yet for the people to whom Jesus was speaking back in the first century, starvation and dehydration were very real, and they were very relevant and significant concerns. Remember, people in Jesus' day were very, very poor. A normal day's wage was literally just pennies. They hardly had enough money to support themselves. In Jesus' day, people were never far, honestly, from real hunger or from real thirst. Food was often scarce. There were no refrigerators. There were no Meijers nearby where they could buy their food. There was no running water. There weren't abundant supplies of Absopure bottled water available to them. The area was dusty and hot. It was arid. So when Jesus spoke to these crowds about hunger and thirst, the mental pictures they had were powerful, and they were real. And they were personal. So then in this beatitude, using this rich imagery of things that are necessary for sustaining the very basics of life, Jesus invited his listeners, and now Jesus is inviting us, to consider how much they and we really want to seek God and to seek righteousness. Now, the word righteousness in the Greek, I think, is a quite interesting word. At its root, it speaks of goodness, and it speaks of justice, and it speaks about doing the right thing. In the New Testament, righteousness speaks of a life that is lived in conformity
to God's will and God's purposes and God's ideals. The righteous are those who let their heads and their hearts be dominated then by God's vision and God's values for life here on earth and for life in this world in which we live. The word righteousness speaks of a life of spirituality. It speaks of doing the right thing, and it speaks about doing godly acts and godly deeds. And finally, righteousness speaks about an intimate kind of relationship that we have personally with God, and then also included within that is a very good and right relationship that we have with our neighbor and others, and also with ourselves. All of those things are added into this word and this understanding of what righteousness means. It means doing the right thing, being the right kind of person, trying to fulfill and live by and follow the guidance of God's will and purposes, and it means being in right relationship with yourself and others and with God. That's righteousness. It's not just being a goody-goody. So in this beatitude, Jesus is really saying, blessed is the one who deeply craves to live in conformity with God and God's purposes and priorities. And blessed is the one who seeks to do the right and ethical thing and to live a life of goodness and fairness and justice. And blessed is the one who seeks to be the right kind of person in relationship to God and others and self. As a matter of fact, to long for those kinds of things with as much eagerness as a person dying of thirst needs water and as much as a starving person needs food, for, Jesus says, he or she will be filled, and they will continue to be filled with God's presence and God's goodness and God's peace and, yes, even God's power. The question we must each answer then is this: how badly do you and how badly do I want this kind of righteousness in our lives? How badly do we want to be filled with God's goodness and presence and purpose and power? Jesus' answer is, as you crave those things, as you crave those things, and long for those things, God's promise is you will be filled. And not just once, but be filled over and over and over again. It starts in time, but it's a continuing thing. Preacher and pastor Lloyd Ogilvie from the Hollywood Presbyterian Church tells a story about a man who approached him one day. The man was looking very annoyed and upset. And he said to Ogilvie, he said, "Pastor, I've been having a really tough time lately." And he began to talk about all the bad things that were happening in his life. And he was talking about how dissatisfied he was with his life. And he talked about how unhappy he was and miserable he was and just didn't know where his life was going, and he wanted sympathy from Lloyd Ogilvie. Well, apparently, Ogilvie just smiled and he replied, "Well, that's good." The man looked at him, kind of funny, like, "What do you mean?" And Ogilvie says, "That's good, because it means you're open enough then to let God fill your life in a very new and a very different way." You see, I think Ogilvie's point is really a good one. I think in order for us to be filled, in order for us to really experience the fullness of God in our lives, we have to be hungry, to be fed. And we have to be thirsty enough to be willing to drink deeply from God's love and grace that's being offered to us all the time. Are you that hungry? Are you feeling that thirsty? That's the question. Many of you know that for years I really enjoyed taking groups of high school kids on week-long trips to the Boundary Waters Wilderness Canoe Area in upper Minnesota, where for a week we would pack in all of our freeze-dried food and portage all of our food and camping gear as we canoed around this very vast and beautiful, very beautiful wilderness area. As I said, our food was freeze-dried. And our water came directly and straight out of the lakes that we were canoeing on. Actually, from my point of view, I thought it was all really pretty good. I'd been single for a long time, and let me tell you, that was pretty good eating, and I was just happy to have some good water to drink. Mixed, of course, with sugar-free Kool-Aid, which really made it very tempting and tasty. Well, anyway, the talk around the campfire in the evening, especially by day two, always turned to the real food these kids were going to eat when they got off the water and returned to civilization. They were thinking about those ice-cold drinks they were going to enjoy and the kinds of foods they were going to eat. And let me assure you, the longing for these things increased considerably as each day passed by. As I said to the service at 9 in the morning, it felt like I was with a wrestling team, and all we used to do as wrestlers was talk about all the food we were going to eat once we were done making weight. And that's exactly the way it was for these kids. They just couldn't wait, and it got worse and worse every day, for when they could get back into Ely and actually have some good things to eat and some ice-cold drinks to drink. And whether it was the local Pizza Hut or some other restaurant, these kids, I tell you, were hungry and they were thirsty for what they hadn't had for a while. And they certainly, absolutely knew something about craving and about desiring. Well, keep that thought in mind for a minute, because you've probably had similar experiences where you have wanted something that badly, and maybe do today. So you see, our beatitude this morning is relevant. It's all about inviting us, and it's all about challenging us to focus our longing, our craving, on becoming more aligned with the will and purposes and values and goodness of God, and to seek health and wholeness in our relationship with God and others and selves. And as we do so, the promise that Jesus makes is that our lives will be filled, will be satisfied. Kind of like the good feeling you have when you go out and help somebody in need and just give yourself away selflessly and walk away from that, feeling so good about who you are and so good about what you did. That's the kind of filling that Jesus is talking about here. And you will be blessed. So then, do you want to experience a closer relationship with God? Do you want to find a higher spiritual purpose for your life? Do you want to live a life of goodness and justice and rightness? Is a right relationship with God and others and with yourself really important to you? Then I urge you this morning to let go of those empty pursuits that will never truly satisfy your soul, and yearn instead, crave instead for God's righteousness. And as Jesus said just a little later in the Sermon on the Mount, as you seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, then everything else will be yours as well. Again, it's not about a destination, it's about a priority. It's not about arriving, it's about the journey. So, my friends, on this World Communion Sunday, as we come to the table together, may you be fed by Jesus, the bread of life. And may you drink very deeply from that beautiful, powerful cup of God's love and God's grace, which is there for you. Come to the table this morning. Come to the table to be blessed, for all things are now ready. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we approach the table today, we do not approach it alone. We approach it on this World Communion Sunday with Christians from every corner of this earth, and congregations large and small, and sanctuaries ornate, and ones that have been completely decimated by things like hurricanes. We come and approach this table speaking every kind of language, and yet really only speaking one. Because this table is a uniting table. It's for all of us. But it is not our table. It is not a Protestant table or a congregational table or an American table. It is God's table. It is a table of grace. And it is a table for all of us. God bids us to come and take our place at this table. We are welcome and invited and called to share in this meal together. So please join me in the invitation. God be with you. And also lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the God of unity and love. Let us pray. O God, in preparation to come to this table and take our place and share with our brothers and sisters across all places and times, we pray that you speak through the beauty of music's language and speak through the gifts of those who bring it, so that we may approach the table in a place of unity and peace, in our collective thirst and hunger for righteousness. Lord, we seek the light in which you dwell, for we ask it in your Son's name. Amen. The first time this story was told, it was a beragged group of people that gathered around the table. It was the power-hungry, the betrayers, the fragile, the lonely, and the lost. The first time this story was told, Jesus promised that whenever the bread was broken and the cup shared, and wherever people gathered around the table, that he would be there. And so today we tell this story as it's been told 1,000 times over. We break this bread and share this cup, sure as we do that we belong at this table of God and that Christ himself is here with us. On the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he gathered in an upper room with his disciples to share the Passover liberation feast. And in the midst of that, he took bread from amongst them, gave thanks to his Father for it, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "This is my body, which is broken by the world. And so as often as you eat of this bread, do so in remembrance of me." If you wish today to receive a gluten-free option for communion, please just simply raise your hand and one of our deacons will bring it forward.
Thank you.
Ministering to you in the name of Christ, I invite you to take and to eat.
This is the cup for those who are thirsty. This is the cup of the new covenant that God has made with God's people. A covenant of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. Ministering to you in the name of Christ, we offer you this cup. Thank you. the cup of the new covenant, take and drink.
Will you join me in prayer? God, in unity and love, and aware of our worldwide community, we have gathered today around the table. In joy and hope, we have come to worship. With thanksgiving and strength and faith, we go forth to love. With our calling renewed, we go forth to serve. Amen.
Sorry. Thank you. Please be seated. Terry Smith was here as the senior minister of this church for 32 years before I arrived in 1997. That's 52 years between the two of us. That's kind of hard to imagine, but Terry has the honor of being the longest tenured pastor in the history of this church. He is beloved, and it is so good to have the Smiths with us here this morning. And one of the things that all of you enjoyed so much as he was the senior minister here was his beautiful benediction at the end of each service. A benediction, by the way, that Jim Nissen put to music, and we share at two of our special musical presentations every year. So, Terry, if you would do us the honor of offering us the benediction today, we would be so appreciative.
Let us pray. And now may the courage of the early morning's dawning, the strength of the eternal hills, the wide-open fields, and the silent streams, the peace of the evening's ending and of the midnight, the beauty of our flowered gardens, the joy of the Spirit, the leadership of Jesus Christ, and the eternal love of God be with us now and forevermore. Amen.